And in celebration of that, I have today invited a very special guest, JT O'Donnell, who's the CEO of Kirillism Media. And she has become one of the most influential career coaches in America, or perhaps around the world. JT, I don't know how much of international business you're doing, but certainly you will see her constantly on LinkedIn as an influencer. She's one of the biggest influencers on LinkedIn, and she sees a tremendous amount of what's going on in the heads of people who are thinking about their career strategies. So there is the entrepreneurship side, and then there is the career side. And our guest today, JT, is an expert on the career side, so we're going to have, I'm sure, a very, very stimulating discussion on the topic with JT. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure, absolutely. JT, tell us what's going on in your universe. Are you seeing this trend?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I'd like to believe that we're encouraging this trend. We constantly use the term business of one. We've diligently spent the last 5 years trying to help people understand that you no longer work for employers, that you need to think about working with employers, that you need to see yourself as a business of one, because we are behind in terms of our skills and knowledge with respect to that. We got comfortable with the golden handcuffs of long-term employment, yep. And those days abruptly, you know, went away and are gone. So we're closing the gap in our knowledge and skills and abilities to manage ourselves differently in our careers. And I think one of those is recognizing that we need to have several paths potentially running at once. That hobby career turned, you know, bootstrapping entrepreneurial idea turned full-time job is one that I am hearing every single day in our career coaching. JT, I want to do this, but ultimately I want to be here. I want to run this company, but I don't want to give up the security of my current job. How am I going to do that? And the answer always is bootstrapping, right? And so many advantages to that. It's endless. I did it. I came on this show, and if it wasn't for you saying, don't worry about the funding, bootstrap, I think I might have, you know, gone to look for funding or even given up. But it was that encouragement to say, stay true to it, that pushed me through. And you do hit a plateau, and then when you break through, it's pretty amazing. So I'm a huge fan, and yes, we're seeing it everywhere. And I'll just tell you a quick anecdote. The editor-in-chief of LinkedIn's influencer program was sharing how they're using trending data, trending storylines to anticipate things. And he said that in the last month and a half, there's been an incredible number of I quit blog posts, how to quit your job. And correlating with that, guess what? Massive job movement. So we think we're starting to finally see that trend of people saying, I'm ready. I was working and I got my business to a certain level and I'm ready to go out and try. So all encouraging signs in many different levels.
Yeah, that's actually wonderful because, for the audience, I want to highlight the fact that people's risk tolerances vary and people's situations vary. You know, if you listen to all the pundits, like Peter Thiel, for instance, is a very big influencer in our world, in the entrepreneurship world. He writes a lot. He writes books. He has the pulpit to, you know, speak from. Everybody listens to him. He's going to basically tell you, unless you're doing something, unless you're going after one of these billion-dollar transformative ideas, nothing is worth doing. This is completely counter to the philosophy of $1 million. Maureen, somebody is throwing noise into the call. Okay, I think we got that under control. Sorry about that. So I honestly believe that you decide what scale of idea, what scale of risk you want to go after. You don't need Peter Thiel to tell you that your idea is worthless. There's a big difference between a bad idea and a small idea. So we have tons of examples of people who have taken a small idea, done this slower route of keeping a job, building a business up to a certain point, and then taking it to the next level and become successful. And then once you have hit your stride and once the cash is coming, you've learned a little bit about how to build a business, you can go to the next level if you wish to go to the next level, but you don't have to kind of swing for the fences and have someone tell you that if you have not raised venture capital, your idea is bad and it's not worth pursuing and you have no chance at an entrepreneurial career. And this is exactly what JT is telling you here, that she has pursued that path successfully, and all of you who are trying to figure out whether you can do it in a more, you know, risk mitigated way, that's fine. Bills have to be paid. That is the reality of life. You know, we live in society, bills have to be paid, we have to navigate our ways through this and fulfill our dreams. That's why we're here. JT, question to you. Let's look at some of the segments, you know. Yes, this is an overriding trend. What segments are you seeing particular interest? Is it women who are trying to, you know, we've talked about this on a previous where, you know, women are quitting and trying to raise babies, and in the meantime, they're trying to also preserve a career, and that's one segment that I think has, you know, very good dynamics for this kind of action. And then there, you know, there's a huge technology worker, you know.
Absolutely. No, you hit on it. And obviously, when I think of your previous book and how that ties into women, I'm that classic scenario. I was nodding through your whole explanation because I am every single one of those things. And the one thing I'd tell everybody listening today is that when you get that negative advice, like Peter's advice, follow the little tiny inner voice inside of you that says, no, that's not right. You know, why does it have to be that way? Because it doesn't. It absolutely doesn't. You need to, there are so many different ways to become an entrepreneur. And candidly, not going at a fast pace and not getting funding was the best thing that ever happened to me. My business doesn't look anything like it looked when we started, and that's because we were allowed to course correct because of the power of bootstrapping. So always remember that. And women is a huge trend. We're seeing it across the board. They couldn't build the careers that they wanted to in the corporate sector, so they left it and said, I'll scale back, I'll take an easier job, or I won't put any more energy into building my career at this place. I'll kind of, you know, collect on the what I've put in so far, and I'll drive my energy in that other direction. Another big trend is millennials, Gen Y. They are highly underemployed and underemployed. 26% unemployment in college graduates. Most of them are underemployed in roles. They're frustrated, rightfully so. And so they're taking their time and saying, I've got nothing to lose, right? I don't have any big bills. I don't have a mortgage. I don't have this. I don't have that. I'm going to play with my ideas. And I think that's great for them because there's so much to learn as an entrepreneur. There's so many trial and errors. I have one 24-year-old in my company right now. He's literally started 4 different businesses through college and after. And he is an entrepreneur, but he understands he needs a day job, right, in order to fund those ideas. I'm fully supportive of that. So you'll see that trend quite a bit. I think hopefully we'll see an emerging trend probably with the people in their 40s across the board. The typical mid-career crisis, not a midlife crisis, a mid-career crisis. I'm 20 years in, right, and all of a sudden I can't imagine doing this for another 20 years of my life, but I do have 2 kids and a mortgage and several car payments, so how am I going to make this happen? And we deal with a lot of those. They don't want a career change. They want to start that thing on their side.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, talk about the millennials a bit more. They are underemployed. They are, you know, very stressed. This is youth unemployment. Actually, since we deal with a very global population, youth unemployment in Europe is a disaster, absolutely. Yeah. And these people actually don't really have the luxury of bootstrapping with a paycheck. They don't have paychecks in a lot of cases.
The trends with the millennials is that they're so good at teamwork. They are very comfortable collaborating together. And so if you don't have a lot of money because you don't have a paycheck, nor does anybody else, they're coming together in their free time because they have it and brainstorming ideas and saying, we've got nothing to lose but to play around with this idea and give it a try and see what works. So there's this hotbed of activity that's happening. They're developing themselves, and the payoff's going to come down the line. We're already seeing signs for the war for talent. I went to a huge talent event a couple weeks ago. Number one concern of all recruiters is we're about to have a massive crunch as all of the boomers retire. There aren't enough of that middle level, that Gen Xer, to replace them. Even with technological advances, shrinking some job sectors, we're going to have this issue. It's going to be a great time for the millennials to step up and close that income gap that they lost because they'll be in demand. And I'll tell you one thing, it's going to be the ones that were entrepreneurial. Even if they started businesses and they failed, it's going to tell those companies there's somebody who gets it. There's somebody who understands business and how difficult it can be. So trying to be an entrepreneur and bootstrapping has its upsides. I've seen many, many individuals go out on their own, it not work, but come back and get better jobs because of the healthy respect and the new perspective they have on what it takes to run a business. And that's an asset to employers. So for all those folks that are globally, you know, on the younger side, collaborate, brainstorm, start things. You know, experiments never fail. You just keep on trying. You're certainly not going to lose a ton of money in it because you don't have a lot to begin with.
Yeah, and for the millennials, it's a no-brainer, really, and it's a great learning experience. Today, the amount, you know, when you and I, JTL, we started way, way back, right? I actually started my first company in 1994 while I was still a graduate student at MIT. And at that time, we had to learn everything on the job. None of this was available. The internet, I am a generation that, I'm the generation that built the internet. So we didn't have the internet. We didn't have all these content or learning and all this stuff available on the internet. So we had to make all these mistakes and learn on the job. So right now, I think there is a tremendous learning curve in entrepreneurship. And it's an incredible opportunity if you can invest in yourself, in teaching yourself what you need to learn. Can you cut the noise? That really helps, you know, mitigate your journey and the risks of your journey, because it will take, and I'm not kidding, it's going to take you 18 months, 24 months, 36 months of really, really difficult times. And whether you raise money later on in the game, and by the way, in this book, we have covered both styles of entrepreneurship. We've covered entrepreneurship where the entrepreneur has bootstrapped all the way, and we've covered companies where the business was started in a bootstrapping using a paycheck mode and then went on to raise huge amounts of money. So all of those are fine, but there is a navigation that you have to do in, you know, and that navigation period could be 36 months, and that's really what's difficult to navigate when you don't have financing and you don't have a paycheck and you don't have a lot of savings. It just becomes very complicated.
You know what's funny? I'll just comment and say one of the things that I've learned as an entrepreneur is thinking about the money for the business never goes away. You always think, if I only get to this level of revenues, if I only get to this level, but when you reach those levels, you find new problems, new opportunities that you have to reinvest in. You're always thinking about it. So you want to just get comfortable with that. It's in the sense that you'll always be a little uncomfortable, right? You just spend your whole time. Until you're out of business, you're always going to worry about it.
And uncomfortable is not a bad thing. You know, comfort zone is not where you grow, actually. If you step out of your comfort zone, that's where really personal growth occurs. So, you know, a lot of people will tell you that people whose careers have been straight, you know, vertical up, actually are very bad to learn from because they haven't really, you know, they haven't really failed, they haven't really stopped to think about what made them successful. There is a tremendous amount of luck involved in any extraordinary amount of success. People forget that. When once they become successful, they forget what made them successful, and they think it's all me, and it's me, me, me. They forget the luck role that the role that luck played. So let me actually switch us to another very important topic. We've dealt with this extensively in the book, is what's happening on the corporate side. And JT talked about it a little bit, that you as an employer are encouraging your 24-year-old millennial employee to, you know, pursue the path of entrepreneurship while working for you. This trend is actually a bigger trend than we give credit for. So we, you know, you must have read about this, folks, those who are listening. We have this Incubator in a Box platform that we launched about a year and a half ago. And we work with a lot of corporations, actually, who are running various kinds of corporate incubation programs on top of our platform. So we have essentially employers paying their employees to study with 1M1M to learn how to be an entrepreneur. Very interesting, right? Your employer is paying for you to learn how to be an entrepreneur. It validates how important entrepreneurial skills are becoming across the board, all over the, you know, business society. And the, you know, the other piece of this is you could actually get your employer to even finance some part of your journey, not just paying for you to learn, but also give you some amount of investment to pursue your idea. So we have one case study in the book called Data Stacks. This company has since, it was started inside of Rackspace. Rackspace gave them, once they had kind of sorted things out, what they wanted to do, Rackspace gave them $100,000 in seed money. This company has since raised $107 million and is valued at over $750 million. So there's and of course, you don't have to go to those lengths. Even, you know, all the way from, you know, zero to 750 million, you have a huge spectrum of different levels at which you can be successful, but it's a trend. The corporate incubation, the corporation's interest in grooming more entrepreneurial employees is a trend, and it's something that you should take advantage of. JD, what are you seeing in your orbit?
Oh, completely. Completely. When we talk to companies about the skills gap, and they give you specifics like critical thinking and being resourceful, it always comes back to they want them to think like a business owner, plain and simple. Look at this. Look at your job from the perspective of if you were the owner of the company. That only comes from developing your entrepreneurial skills. So it doesn't surprise me that companies are doing this. Plus, they know that this younger generation, they know they're not going to be able to keep them all. That's another reality companies are finally opening up to. They can't keep you for 10 or 20 years. So what can we give you to make you while you're here? The founder of LinkedIn, Reid Hoffman, calls it a tour of duty, and they really believe in that you're there for 2 years and then you're going to move on. So as an employer, what can I give you so that when you move on, you remember how great we were to you, because you might want to come back and do another tour of duty with us at another time. That's such a different shift from when you and I were taking jobs, and when you left, you were basically told you'd never be invited back again. That's completely gone. Companies just morph in and out. People move from places to place where they fit. And that speaks to the trend a study shows that says as early as 2020, one out of two Americans could be independent contractors just because business is changing. What is that? That's you being a business of one and being entrepreneurial and allowing yourself to build your one company while you're still working for the other. So all of the indicators are there that it's going that way. I think it's almost scarier when people aren't trying to think of this as their solution instead. You know, in my world, I'm telling everyone to really test entrepreneurship in some way. And you mentioned that range, and I love that you keep reinforcing that, because entrepreneurship can be about lifestyle.
Absolutely.
And that's equally worthy if that's your agenda, that you have to think of what it is for you, what success and satisfaction is to you, and put your blinders onto that and stop looking at what other people are doing or comparing yourself. Your entrepreneurial goal is what you want it to be. And as soon as you embrace that, you'll be much happier.
And this trend that you're talking about of, you know, the solo entrepreneur, you know, a freelancer is very rapidly morphing into a solo entrepreneur, and that's the way they should think about it. You know, freelancers thinking about, oh, I need to find the next gig is not the way to have a successful business life. They should think of themselves as the solo entrepreneur. And if you put that hat on, and given the trend, if indeed by 2020, one out of two Americans become solo entrepreneurs, you better learn these skills of exactly how to think of yourself as the product. If you're looking for gigs, then you have to think of yourself as the product, and you have to product market yourself, you have to position yourself, you have to, you know, create your customer segmentation and your sales strategy and all of these things. And they're not so different from how it you would any other product.
You know, I'll jump in there and just say that in this day and age, with all the technologies available, there's a new expectation to brand yourself. You can't get away from it anymore, right? Just to not even have a LinkedIn profile, we say brand or be branded. To not engage and build a brand for yourself, even if you're an employee right now, is actually working against you because it tells the world one of three things. Either you're not technology savvy, because this stuff is mainstream, you have something to hide, that's pretty bad, or there's nothing remarkable about you. No one is going to buy damaged goods. So if you aren't thinking about even branding yourself as a business of one of a solopreneur while you're still waiting for your idea of what you want to actually run for a business, you're putting yourself behind the eight ball.
So that's a topic that you know a lot about, JD. Talk about personal branding and how you have, especially how you've leveraged LinkedIn to do that.
Well, in entrepreneurship at this day and age, we know people hire specialists. It is paramount. We want to know who's driving the bus of any company these days, and we feel we're entitled. It's the information age. 81% of all people will research a product or a service online first and make a pare down of selections before they go and pursue something. So if you're an entrepreneur, understand that they're going to want to know your story, your passion, what you believe in, what you're about. That has to come to life because we have so much choice these days in everything that we only buy things we trust, and we want to see who we can trust. So the first step, even before, if you don't even have your entrepreneurial idea, it's okay because you should still be building your brand of your executive brand, you know, you as the person that you are, and define what pain do I alleviate? What problem do I solve that's bigger than me? What's that thing that I'm focused on that I'm a specialist in? And that has to be showcased. Whether you're, you know, branding your profile, what blogging, obviously people can get the pencil now on LinkedIn, building a Twitter feed. These are your audiences. You now have, it's almost equal to your own TV show or newspaper columns with social media. This is your chance. Get this out there and do it now because when you start the business and you want to go knock on doors and say, partner with me, what are they going to do? They're going to look you up. And if they don't see something that backs that up, you're not going to be chosen. So work on that now. That's something that's fully controllable.
There are a lot of tools available today that it seems like people are not necessarily taking advantage of. You and I take advantage of these things very heavily. But, you know, whether it's blogging, whether it's writing influencer columns on LinkedIn, whether it's tweeting and Facebook, you know, LinkedIn, there are all kinds of ways that you can, you know, for instance, we maintain a Hootsuite campaign on a regular basis that is very well fed and has tremendous amount of content that goes through Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, all our, you know, touch points basically. But that's easy to do. Hootsuite costs $5.99.
I know.
It's crazy. If you guys don't know how to write, learn to write. Writing is becoming a vital skill in 21st century work environments. Whatever you do your own business, you try to build your own career, writing has become a vital, vital differentiating factor. I would say both JT and I, the only reason we have been able to do what we are doing is because we write well.
You know, I will tell you that's the number one thing for me. I was an early adopter of social media and really perfecting what I wanted to write about and how to convey the message. And as you pointed out, it's about the consistency. And these tools make it so easy because you can automate this content being pushed out. So there's no excuses there. It's cheap. It's easy. It just takes a little, you know, time on your part to schedule. But writing has been so instrumental. In fact, I joke because I've had more than a few people in the influencer program say to me that they've heard people go, who is this woman? How is she even, you know, in the top 20 influencers? I chuckle. I laugh myself. I agree completely. But that came down.
There's a lesson there.
There's a lesson there
that you can do it by sheer hard work and quality.
That's all it was writing with passion, with clarity, and consistency, and never giving up, just being pushing it out there. That is the only reason why. And when I tell people that, right, they say, how'd you do it? And they go, oh, gosh, I don't want to do that. Well, okay then, that's fine. If you don't want to do it, Don't, but it doesn't take you 8 hours a day. And if you get in the routine, it pays off, you know. So it is a secret for everybody out there. Put the time in. You'll see the results.
And folks, just to put this in perspective, these top 20 influencers on LinkedIn that JT is, that the list that she's on includes Richard Branson. Now, Richard Branson doesn't have to do it, you know, in that mode. He has a brand. Anything he writes, people want to read. But for somebody who's doing it from scratch, for any of you who are now trying to build your brand, you have to put in the work. And the reason I love what JT has done is that it's really doable, but you have to put in the work. You have to be diligent. You have to be regular and disciplined and all that. And that's my secret too. You know, I started doing LinkedIn influencer much later, but my blog was well known for a long time, way before, you know, 2005 and when I started blogging.
Well, and I think you're bringing up a good point. We need multiple sources too. So learn to do one well. You nailed it with your blog. Huge following, right? Then once that's under control, you take on the next one. Yeah, you just take them on as it gets more familiar.
Yeah, and all those avenues are available today, actually. Content marketing is really hard, by the way. Content marketing gets a lot of PR these days as a very, very effective way to market, but it's very hard. If you look out there, most of the content that gets published is garbage. So this is why it's important to learn to write and learn to convey a point of view that is clear and important and differentiated that people would want to engage with, authentic. So definitely, you know, look up what JT is doing in terms of her activities in brand building, and you will learn a lot from that.
It's funny, I'll tell you really quickly, my most recent post on LinkedIn is about blogging on LinkedIn and what 5 things you need to keep in mind as a new blogger just to avoid it. And I would encourage people just to go read that article because it'll help you understand. And I agree with you, content marketing is not as easy as everybody's making it out to seem.
Very hard. Can you imagine marketing a toothpaste brand and writing every week about toothpaste?
No.
All right. Well, JD, thank you very much for sharing your insights and giving us a perspective of what's happening on the career side of the equation, because, you know, we see the trend from the entrepreneurship side. You're seeing the trend from the career side. It's unmistakable. People are interested in building businesses, and they are interested in building businesses without risking everything. So that is a path that we support. It's a path that you're supporting and encouraging, and something that people should pay attention to. Thank you, JD. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much.